You're listening to the Fat Dude Digs Flicks Movie Podcast Network. What is up, everybody? This is Andy, the resident fat dude of Fat Dude Digs Flicks, coming to you recorded from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it is time for an all-new Let's Talk About. If this is your first time listening to Let's Talk About, hi, hello, welcome, thank you so much for joining us. Let's Talk About is a chat show where I am joined by a guest. We talk about their life, their loves, and a movie that has had an impact on them. If you are returning to the show, welcome back. I hope you had a lovely Christmas and holiday break. We here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota are digging out of a 9-inch snowfall, I would say, something like that. Though if you were to check your Apple weather, apparently we got less than an inch of snow. I don't think Apple quite understands what snow looks like, but we got more than an inch. We'll just say that. Next couple days will be covered in snow, and that's okay. That's okay. I don't want to do anything anyways. I just want to sit, drink hot chocolate, and watch movies, and have good conversations over the internet, and that's just what I did. This week's episode, I am joined by Heather Thomas. Heather is a software consultant, just a really cool, like, her whole energy, her whole vibe is just fun and, like, embracing the best things in life and knowing that life can be a series of things. It doesn't just have to be your job. It doesn't just have to be your family. It can be your job, your family, your own life, your experiences, your fun, your passions. And it's a really cool chat with her. And we talk about a movie that I didn't necessarily love, not something I would put on the naughty list, but, you know, not a movie I particularly loved, though I loved the other movies in the series. The sequel to this movie especially is one of the greatest sci-fi adventure movies of all time, but we'll go ahead and dive into that. So, pop your popcorn, grab your soft drink, kick back, relax, and let's talk about Star Trek the Motion Picture. All right, everyone. I am super excited for today's episode. I say it every week. I always do that little thing where it's like, oh, if it's somebody I already know, of course I'm excited for the episode because I get to talk to somebody I know. But then I have the episodes where it's like a stranger, you know, somebody I've never had a conversation with before. And it's like, oh, this is going to be good. Today, this is going to be good. I am joined by a stranger. she is a software consultant. I'm going to say a software consultant for the stars, like kind of like these big name brands. Super helpful with that. And she has also, like, done a lot of cool public speaking, discussing the advantages and practical usages for AI. And I think in this time, like, man, that is super, super important to know. So I am joined today by Heather Thomas. Heather, how are you?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. And you were right when you called me strange. I am definitely unique. Being originally from Sioux Falls and then lived away for a long time, but back in Sioux Falls and doing all those really cool things right from here. So I think it's pretty cool.
It's really interesting the times that we live in, because it feels like you can almost do anything, like, because of having an internet connection, like having the remote capabilities. And I think it's pretty incredible that you're able to work with and help these huge companies all from the comfort of South Dakota. How about that?
From the winter, as we're sitting in a snowstorm right now.
Yeah, I know. Oh, what a mess. Well, Heather, I'm going to kick things off and give you just a huge opportunity to kind of talk about yourself with one of my favorite questions to kick the show off with. And that is, Heather, who are you? Where did you come from? What is your origin story?
Oh my goodness, Andy. Okay. And it's all going to tie into the movie, right? That I chose.
Yeah,
Right.
it's super
You
cool.
said, what movie would you pick? I said Star Trek, and you said, what?
But you were so excited about it too, and that's why I was like, oh, this is gonna be fun.
And that's why I'm donning the Star Trek costume. So, anyone who can't see, I have the full Ensign Red costume. I have worn it multiple times on stage, giving talks about technology. And so, I'm a dork, I'm a nerd, and I'm really grateful that certain things come into our lives that actually help us develop a career. And so I am from right here in South Dakota. I was born in Aberdeen in a snowstorm. So it's actually par for the course that this is the week is my birthday, 50th birthday, and we're in the middle of a snowstorm again.
Kismet. Everything is in alignment.
There you go. There you go. And I had a pretty typical American childhood, right? In the 80s, I was born in 74. And my mother was, the daughter of a farmer in Iowa. And my father's story is actually pretty entangled with Sioux Falls, a little bit of Sioux Falls and South Dakota lore. So my father was the grandson of a man who traveled to South Dakota in the 1900s on one of the orphanage trains from New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Tracked his history again
Wow.
using technology on ancestry.com. And so that family lived in the shadow of the cathedral. And my father was born in one of the streets over there on Prairie.
Oh, sure.
But, families that have that kind of history have challenges. And so by third grade, he was actually raised in the orphanage on Western Avenue, which is now a
Wow.
historic building from the Children's Home Society. And so by eighth grade, he actually went to Boys Town. And then by the time he went through Vietnam and stuff and came back, he raised us here in Sioux Falls just for a few years. But was my dad who got me started into sci-fi. And I can see why. I'm sure he read a lot of those 50s novels and probably really loved the fantasy of it all. And he took me to every Star Trek movie. He also took me a couple of Star Wars. So we liked that as well. But somehow it was the Star Trek that stuck. And then we moved to Colorado Springs, where he started to pursue a career in selling computers. So
It
that
all ties together.
has to come together. But what I love about thinking about those days is, we may have been one of the families that had the cool technology, but because it seemed like we always lived in a cul-de-sac, right? So we were in a cul-de-sac, we always had the cool technology, and we always got it first, but we always got it wrong. Like we had the Beta, not the VHS, right? We had the original Pong. We did have a Commodore, but I don't think it was the 64, right? I think it was the old version. We had to type three lines of code. And then the big one is when video games came out, we had the TurboGrafx 16.
Oh,
And
my
I
God.
was that money. Not many people know what that
Oh, wow.
No Nintendo for us, right? Like we were TurboGrafx 16. So it was, it was now looking back, it's hilarious because how would you know which technology trend to jump on? And I remember playing a PC game. It was 85 because I remember that the Bears were playing in the Super Bowl and I didn't want to be there. I was playing my game. And it was like the Kobayashi Maru. Like it was always like, this is the scenario. You have to figure out how to save your crew from Star Trek. And I spent hours and hours on that game. And by the time I was in my 20s, I went to school as a computer programmer. Very rare for a girl. I think I was the only girl in the class for a long time. So this was like 96. No,
Sure.
90, sorry, 94, 95. And my counselor came to me and says, you've got straight A's, but you talk too much. You talk way too much. You need to change your degree. And it was an associate's degree I was paying for. And he's like, you really need to go into business and then a minor in computer science. And so that's what I did. But rejection sometimes leads to opportunity. And I ended up writing all of the programmers' resumes and got a job at 20 years old in Denver, recruiting for computer programmers that were developing pre-Google. Like they were developing the DEX indexes for the internet, when you went from yellow pages to DEX online in the new language called Java. Like, remember that? What Java? Right. So, I mean, how fun is that? So by the time I was 22, I was recruiting network engineers for Coors Brewing Company before the Y2K stuff. And since then, just kept following maybe the tech red thread. And it led me into, working for, I actually work for a company called iCIMS. They have 6,000 companies worldwide, and their core business is hiring online. So typically, if you're filling out an application online, it's for the company that I work for. But I go and I support the big name companies, and I'll drop them like PepsiCo and Dollar General and UPS. And I support a bunch of them. When the software breaks, they call me. So, and then I have to like get all the engineers together to fix it. So, what a great career! Like, who knew it all? Because I loved Star Trek.
Well, it's so interesting because it's like I don't know that we always stop to think about how these things that inspire us in one way or another, like really kind of, they have the potential to set us down that path that really just like creates our entire future. And I think something, starting with something as simple, for lack of a better term, but something as simple as Star Trek has kind of like catapulted you to this whole world that you're just thriving in. So I think that's so exciting, like such an interesting story. Was science fiction, because that's kind of what it seems like, Star Trek, Star Wars, it's the whole science fiction lore. Was that something that you just I don't know. Like how easy was it for you to kind of get into it? Was it something for like from the first moment that you watched something, you were like, "Oh yeah, this is my jam." Like what was that click for you?
That's a great question. It didn't click. I think that's what's so interesting. I think back then, so late 80s, early 90s, I graduated in 92. And I don't want to paint a broad brush, but in my experience, science wasn't something that I was necessarily gravitating to. It just kind of wasn't on my radar per se. Video games, for some reason, as they exploded, I loved the levels and the challenge and beating the big boss or staying up all night long until you beat the big boss. And that, by the way, I mean, just a caveat, if anybody's hiring, do not discount people who play video games. Like there are so many skills that are taught in that. It's crazy. Like it was part of my career, right, to video games. All some of those big bad bosses I have to overcome, right?
If nothing else, like it teaches you like gives you depths of patience. Like it's just have to be resilient to keep fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. So yeah, I get that.
And then now with the multi-simulator games, like collaboration, okay, you go there, I go there, they're communicating, they're doing it virtually. Like anybody who can do that can do a remote job, right? And work on a team. And what is it? The GTO, go heist something. So it's funny because I don't play anymore, right? I just don't. have the patience for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just really wasn't something. And as we talk about Star Trek, though, there's that human component that was in Star Trek. And you're going to ask the question, probably the difference between Star Trek and Star Wars. Can I answer that one for you right off the
Go
bat?
for it. Yeah, tell me why you hooked into one more so than the other, despite enjoying the other. But I feel like that's kind of how everybody is. Like they'll like one but love the other. So
Yeah.
what was the Star Trek of it all that got you so like that was the one you hooked on to?
The hook. And I do. I've also dressed up as Princess Leia, which I love to do that too. So it's always
Yeah.
fun to get a new role. You know, it's funny because Star Wars is about a family lineage, right? Kind of a sad story. And I actually relate to that story, to the story I told you about my father and his grandfather and then his son, like abandoning children, because that's what they did to Leia and Luke, right? So, but Star Trek for me was about also the world of work, right? It was about a team that collaborated and did really cool things together. And in this, and again, our vision of the future for Star Trek wasn't utopian, right? We still had enemies of sorts, and there was still war, and there was still power, control, and all of that. But these humans were working together. And I really liked the team aspect.
Well, and it's so interesting too, because it's like you have people from various specialties. You know, you've got someone who masters in medical, masters in the engineering, like just every different field, and everyone kind of gets brought together to form this like entire crew. And I think that's there's definitely that advantage that I think Star Trek has to Star Wars, because everyone's just a rebel in Star Wars. So, but yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
I think here's the other advantage too. So Star Wars, we have again like generations and generations. So how are the generations relating to similar constructs, right, from generations past? In Star Trek, you actually had the same people. They did a really good job. So the show started in 1960s, right? Reran in the 80s. That's when I fell in love with it as a rerun. I would come home from school in sixth grade and I had to be at a babysitter's house. And I was like 12, 11 or 12. And it would run Scooby-Doo. Then it would run Star Trek. And I was just mesmerized. And whenever the babysitter would tell us to go outside, I'd be furious because I wanted to see the end of the Star Trek episode. So, I mean, here you have that, then they reboot it in 1979 with the movies that we're going to talk about, this series of six movies, and really there's five, but six movies over a decade. And it's the same people like learning from this, from learning year over year, going and having bigger, even bigger philosophical challenges than they had before. But it was like they took everything that they learned and they were applying it, as opposed to Star Wars, where each generation was having to learn some of the same lessons over and over.
One of the other things I think that kind of stands out to me about Star Trek versus Star Wars, and I'm, you know, it's funny that I say this because I would say that I'm a Star Wars guy. Like I think I lean more towards Star Wars than Star Trek, but have an appreciation for Star Trek. And I think one thing that Star Trek does really well is that Star Trek is Earth. Like they're at kind of at the center. It's us. It's our culture, our humanity, just through time. And Star Wars is all of these, you know, distant planets, and you know, there are representations of Earth. But I think Star Trek actually having so many of the characters from Earth, from a culture that we recognize, you know. I think that makes it so it's something that people can really relate to and latch on to. Not knocking Star Wars, because I think you can find that there too, but there's just something nice when it's more tangible, I would say.
No, totally
So,
agree. 100%. That's awesome. I agree.
yeah.
Do
So,
we have to talk
okay.
about the first? Oh,
Yes.
no. No, you got.
Oh no. I listen. The floor is yours, Heather. I am just merely the ringleader in this thing. So, what were you going to say?
I get so excited about it. Like the first that Star Trek did, like Star Trek had the first interracial kiss in the
Yes.
1960s. That's
Yes.
so badass. So
It's
badass.
so cool how like the diversity of the Star Trek crew is just incredible. And I think that it started in the 60s too, is something where it's like, you're in the midst of so much social change, and you have a black woman on the ship who is kind of in charge of the tech and the navigation. You have an Asian man who's from, like, I believe George Takei is from South Korea, and like in the midst of conflict in Korea, you have this man on TV. You have Chekhov, whose name escapes me, Koenig, Walter Koenig, and
Was gonna
he.
fail. Good job.
So it's like you just have all of these different cultures represented, and it's like I don't. I think that Star Trek is starting to get the credit for what it kind of did in entertainment by having everybody there. But I wonder if at that time, if it was, I think it was pretty controversial. I think it was pretty
Yeah.
looked at with a little bit of a scoff because of how much
It
was
was
going on in the world.
canceled in just 3 seasons, like,
Yeah.
and
Yeah.
the reviews. If you get a chance to watch Leonard Nimoy's "For the Love of Spock," actually his son did it. He reads some of their early reviews. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
You think about it too. Leonard Nimoy was Jewish, right? And this was actually a Jewish blessing, and a lot
Wow.
of people didn't know that. Like, that.
Yeah.
Cool was that, right? So you had that as well that they brought in. So there was religion, and then there was the diversity and the like true inclusion. Like when I watch that on a team, I'm like, if you want to know what inclusion looks like, that's it. It's
Yeah.
just right there. Like it's amazing.
Yeah, and it's what I also like about it too is that it just is. It's like the conscious effort was there to make the team be all of these different people, but it's not treated like, look what we did. Look how we incorporated all of these different people. It's like, this is the world we live in. Like this is just how it is. And so this is a reflection of that. Yeah, I just think it handles it so well. So,
And even Chekhov, I think I remember even in the 80s, like how controversial that was since we were in a
yeah.
cold war with Russia. It was the first Russian I remember hearing, right?
Yeah.
And then they make a funny joke in one of the movies because they went back into the 80s
Yeah.
and make a joke with him being Russian. And
It's so good. So good.
it was very pop culture-ish too. There's
Yes,
a lot of
yes.
for
Yeah,
the
it's yeah, and it kind of like the show itself was such a like centerpiece of, even though it lasted for only 3 seasons, like I think it had a very, as we've been able to tell over the decades, a very loud fan base that is just full in support of the show, the ideals of the show, the worlds of the show. And I think it's just kind of awesome to see like how that has survived and how that has inspired so many people too. So it's just
great.
super cool.
Fun fact, I did not
Yeah.
know that until I watched the For Love of Spock. But one of the reasons why the show gained a cult following was because Leonard Nimoy had never had an acting job that lasted longer than 2 weeks until he was on Star Trek.
Yeah.
He was terrified of having to overcome the guy with the eyebrows and the
Ooh.
ears.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so he started taking every invitation to fly around the country and meet people, whoever invited him when the show was still in its run and like towards the end. And it almost livened it back up
Yeah.
as he helped create such a such kind of a cult following of it. I think that's
Yeah.
funny. And that's the world of work too, right? The guy who ended
Yeah.
up paycheck for his family.
That's right. I want to kind of tie this back to you and the things that you do before we dive into the movie here. So, how do you go from the kind of programming specialist to getting opportunities to do public speaking, where you're allowed to kind of share your knowledge with things? Like, what was the route to that, and how did you just take off running with that?
Oh, does being a loud mouth, well, an answer, does that count?
That's a good answer. It's a
That's my
solid
answer.
answer.
I'll add. I had a great team camaraderie at the time. I think I can point back to a group of people that I worked with. Actually, at Sodexo, they're like one of the 18th largest food and facilities companies in the world, and I had a boss. Scott Sherman, now I'm going to have to send this to him. Hi, Scott. And
Shout out.
Scott was definitely a Kirk type of leader. And he was just like, you just have so many ideas, you need to get on stage. And so we got on stage, I think in 2013, maybe 2014. And then I just didn't stop until COVID. And then COVID stopped me in my tracks. And Andy, you know what I probably did from there, right? I had to get back on the stage, so I started acting, and I started acting in theater. And oh, another fun fact about Star Wars is they were the first cosplay. They were the first ones to sell those. So all the cosplay that we have today, we all have Star Trek to thank for it. So I think that was a natural, I think it was the way that the universe wanted me to get into theater.
Was that how you started with doing performing, was because of COVID? Like, that was where you found your avenue? How has
Wow.
that been for you? Because I have a theater background, did a lot of acting. Like, it's just went to college for it too. Like, I love it. It's just I've taken a little break. Maybe I'll go back eventually. But
Hope you
what
do.
like how has the whole journey been for you now that you've gotten on stage? Is it just kind of, have you picked it up naturally, or has there been a lot of like, oh God, what am I doing?
Well, okay. So fun. So first of all, I did meet my acting coach on TikTok. Thank God. In COVID 2020. That's what I spent COVID doing, was doing acting classes virtually.
Thanks.
And in a weird way, you know how you kind of grow a little bit and you're in your midlife and all of a sudden you look back and you go, oh wow, that's a path I didn't take. But now I'm taking it at 45. So when I was 12, I did do the entire Back to the Future movie with the neighborhood kids for 4 hours, and my poor parents had put all the parents had to sit there for 4 hours. I cannot imagine what that must have been like. And it was interesting because I was the tallest. And my little brother and my neighbor's son were very short, but I had to be Marty, right? I have no idea why. So I gender switched and then made them gender switch. So my brother had to be like the sister, and little David across the street, he had to be Leah Thompson, right? Full balloons, full hair, like the whole thing. I do have the little photographs of it, and I really should publish them today because they're hilarious. I had braces on my tooth, right? I did line by line for the entire movie. So clearly I had it somewhere.
The urge to perform was there from very early on.
Being
Have you oh.
a nerd was there from the very beginning.
I guess that's pretty much true too. So what kind of theater are you drawn to? Are you more of like a straight play musical? Like, do you just want the opportunity to perform? Is that kind of what it's like for you?
I'm still discovering that. I've only got about 4.5 years of experience and still have the corporate day job. And so right now it's just fun. I have tried the musical theater route. I do not have a very good musical theater voice. So if they have roles where they need a bad singer, that they should sign me up for that. And there's so much to learn, right? There's what it comes back to teamwork, right? Like that's the thing that I think connected me. It connects work, the workplace, a really good workplace, right? And it connected everywhere where I've been successful in life, even on a cast. So when you're on a cast on a theater, if everyone knows their job, just like you said in the beginning, this person is the communication officer, this person's is the science officer, like everyone respects everybody's role. And I learned that in theater, like my job is to make my cast members look good, simply doing my only job, not theirs, just mine. And when we apply that to the world of work too, it makes the workday a lot better. But I can't say that corporate America knows that today. I should make them all watch Star Trek, is what I should.
That's right. That's how you're gonna. That's, I think that's how you're gonna save the world.
Yeah, I think so. I like that. I like that.
I want to talk about a couple of other things before we dive into the movie. The first thing I want to talk about is that from your email address, you are a mother. How is motherhood? Like, I think that's such a general question, but I think I just kind of want to know, like, with all of the things that you have accomplished professionally, how important, how meaningful, how great is it for you to still be able to say, even though I've done this, I'm also a mother, and that friggin' rules. Like, what's it like for you?
That is a really great question, Andy. Like that one throws me for a loop. That was really good. Just kudos to you. That was good. I entered motherhood really thinking that that was going to be the thing for the rest of my life. My career also plays into motherhood because I wanted to be home for my kids. And so I worked really hard to be really smart and be able to work remote even before remote was a thing. So I think I went remote first in like 2000. So it was very early. And you always have to earn your spot when you're remote. So you've got to be a really strong producer. But I have found with my kids are 10 years apart. And so my youngest is 15 and I have boys. So the email address, right? You totally have my email address in there. I love motherhood and I also love the next section that comes past motherhood. So I'm really excited about getting my boys to a point where they're like, don't need you, mom, I'm out. And that's also where theater played in because I was like, my boys aren't going to need me forever. They're going to go live their lives. What happens if I don't have a life outside of them? And so I made an active decision a few years ago to be like, I need to go get a life. And so that's a really deep question. I love that. That was a
Well,
good one.
the thing is that it's like it feels like, just from, kind of judging your social media presence, just seeing you out in the community, that you have this great balance of being able to enjoy being a mother, being proud of your children, being proud of the life that you kind of created in that realm, but also you are living. Like, you are doing your thing. You are ha finding time to enjoy yourself, finding time to be successful at the things that you want to do. And I think that balance is super important. And I don't necessarily know that everybody finds that balance right away. It takes time to get there. So I think kind of watching how you've done it, and I'm sure for you, it probably at times was like, what am I doing? Like, this is just awful. But I think it's kind of a nice testament to, what you've done, to just kind of see, like, how you're thriving, balancing these two, your role as mom and your role as human being. And I think it's great to watch. I think it's exciting.
I love that reflection. That reflection is really powerful, Andy. I really appreciate it. And you just reminded me of something that has been up kind of subconscious underneath. going back to the 60s, right? I grew up with a mom who eventually went to work. And it was very difficult watching her navigate all the at-home things with all the family things. And to be completely transparent, it burned her out. So by the time I was 16, I was not living with my mom. So I was kind of on my own by 17. It completely burned her out. And I always said to myself, you know, we always do that. What am I going to do differently that my parents did? Right. And I watched my mom later go get a life and restart. And we have a great relationship. I wanted my boys to see a strong mom. I wanted them to see that. And it's not about having it all. It's about having it in different seasons of your life. So there was a time where I would make I was home every afternoon to make their snack. Like that was a long time ago. But and then now I'll look at their sport count, the youngest sport calendar. I'll be like, I'm making this one, this one, this one, and this one. I'm not making the rest. I don't have to make them all. I don't have to make them all. And so, yeah, and then it gives me an opportunity to let them, you know, see what it's like, I think, for women now in our day and age. And women, thank goodness to the predecessors before us, we've so much opportunity. And so we need to allow ourselves to teach the men in our lives how to respond to that. As opposed to, it's not their fault. Like it's nobody's fault. Like we're now all in this new place. How do we collaborate together? Yeah, that was a very deep question.
That's what we like to do sometimes on this show, Heather. Sometimes we talk about a movie and then we're like, wait a second, I have some philosophy to drop. Let's get
All
there. My last little question before we dive into Star Trek, the motion picture. So I learned that you are a big fan of the Rocky Horror Picture Show. That was how this whole thing came to be. Was that I saw you at the showing of Rocky Horror. I am very loud at yellback movies. I love getting to yell back at the screen. And you'd come up to me afterwards and you're like, oh, thank you for like adding this. And you were in costume. Like it was so cool to have Rocky Horror finally there. So I guess I do want to talk for just a little bit. How did your love for Rocky Horror start? Like we had talked to me a little bit about it while we were there, but I just kind of want to talk about that again. Was it something that like you went to a screening and then were just like, oh yeah, these are my people. This is my life.
Yeah, no, I didn't get to go until
That's
years
right.
later. Yes,
That's right.
I was young. I was the girl who looked older than she was. So I was hanging out with boys older. And they all got to go and they wouldn't let me in. I was too young. I had to be taken home. I was devastated. And so I always kind of followed it. I think I made one show about a decade ago, but wasn't done well. So I was really hoping that the State Theater would knock it out of the park, and they did. I would show up. I think we should turn Star Trek into a yell back. Or, you know, I love the interactive ones. I think because they're so much fun. Like we need more community. That's what it is, right? Like we can all watch movies from our house, but man, did I have a blast with you yelling, me yelling, all what 200 or 150 other people yelling. That was so much fun.
Just like those kind of screenings for like those cult classics, like I think it's really important because I do think it helps encourage the love of movies like amongst the Sioux Falls community. They did Rocky Horror for the first time. They've done The Room now for several years, which is just a blast for a completely different reason, because it's one of the worst movies of all time, but also wonderful. So yeah, more opportunities to do things like that, I think, would be a lot of fun, just to kind of see, it gets everybody excited to be on the ride of the movie from the beginning to end, and then talk with people afterwards, which, yeah, just grow that community more.
I agree. I think
I like it.
we wanted that as Gen Xers, right? Like we wanted interactivity, right? And now we have to take advantage of it. We have to actually physically show up because our brains all, that's the other thing we now know with science, right? Our brains all sync together when we're all singing the same song. It relaxes us. It gives healthy dopamine. It's not this, right? It's when we're all together moving in the same direction, screaming in the same way.
It's just, it's healthy and it's fun. Just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Even if it's spicy, even if it's
Oh
a,
yeah.
I love a
That's
spicy.
a deliciously spicy movie.
I love Tim Curry. It's just one of
Oh,
my.
so good. So good. Well, let's dive into our featured movie of the week. We've talked a lot about Star Trek so far, but now we will specifically dive into 1979's Star Trek: The Motion Picture.
Thrust us ahead, Mr. Sulu. Take us out. Mr. Spock, every minute brings that object closer to Earth. I need you.
I am convinced we are inside a living machine.
Shall I go to battle station, sir?
Insatiable curiosity.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
I hope we got this one off to a good start. I hope so, too.
All right, Heather. So, my first question to you, it's a simple question, but the wording of it is always a little difficult. In your own words, what is Star Trek: The Motion Picture all about?
It's about purpose and meaning of life. Because if you remember the movie, V'ger had to merge with a human in order to make meaning of all the data they've collected. And then the second point I would say, to me, it's still a reflection of the world of work, right? It's how the team came together for a common goal. All that diversity, all that inclusion of friendship. And while the first movie was not the best movie by any means, I think there were some interesting things that they played on. The first being they really romanticized the ship, I think. But and so if you think about it in terms of culture, it was the first time we had seen, and if and anyone that's younger than 35 right now that's listening, like back then they had to build sets, like they had to use toothpicks, and like, and if you watch that movie, you see every intricate detail of this ship that you watched for three seasons in a 1960s level of CG, right? So now it really just comes to life. They do drag it out an awful lot. It was like, are we making love to the ship or are we having a movie here? Like, come on, get on with it. But the goal, I think, in 1979 was well done, that we've played off. Now you can just give a shot of something really cool and our brains kind of put all of that together. And they definitely relied too heavily on people who I think had seen the TV show, so they knew all the dynamics of the characters. And so they were really too light on the relation, the character development and the relationships.
Yeah.
But if you had seen every single episode, you liked it, right? You liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the first movie for me is very operatic and philosophical. Like that's the way that this Star Trek kind of comes to life, because it's just like you said, the character development, the emphasis on the relationships between the characters, between some of them that you want to see interact, it's just not quite there. I mean, they of course you can't have a Star Trek movie without Kirk and Bones kind of like being a little antagonistic, and without Kirk and Spock being a little antagonistic. Like it just has to be there. But like more of the interactions with the other characters, Sulu and Chekhov and Uhura and even Scotty. Well, Scotty gets a pretty good show, but it's like, I feel like the other movies that come later kind of build upon that quite a bit more. But this is Star Trek, the grand idea is what this movie is. And look at how beautiful our ship is. And if you don't believe us, keep looking at how beautiful our ship is, because we're going to show you every single angle on this ship. But it does.
And we're going to turn it and show it to you again.
Yes. Yeah. But they're right. I mean, it looks great. Like, it's really cool to look at. But man, we spend about a quarter of that runtime of the movie looking at the ship. So,
hang on, Adrian. We just gotten jaded though. Like, remember, 1979.
Yeah.
Star Wars just only had come out with one movie, mm-hmm. right? And we saw like the Empire ships, like from kind of far away. Like, this gave us like the. There's one scene where it looks like there's a little person inside the side of, and it's actually just like blue shading. I was like really paying attention when I rewatched them all.
I kept going back to 2001, Space Odyssey, because like that came out in the 60s. So you have that, then you have Star Trek or Star Wars, which is 77, and this was 79. I feel like this was kind of like a blending of those two styles, because 2001 is very everything takes its time. We're going to show you the inner workings of the spaceship. Oh, now we're going to show you the outer workings of the spaceship. Okay, we'll tell a story. But then after that, things are going to get weird.
Here's the other thing I noticed, though. How sexy. Like, I knew the TV show was sexy. But the other underlying theme in that movie was sex.
Yeah.
From the actress who's the bald head who comes out in that cute little white thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, whoa. And then even like a couple, like, and then her and that other guy have that thing going. And there's a couple of even scenes, if you listen to the dialogue, like undertones of sex through the whole movie.
Yeah. And it was almost like, you know, when the show was on, they couldn't get away with it. You know, they would try and sneak stuff in there. And this felt like it was like, well, we're still going to be sneaky because we don't quite know what we can get away with yet. But we're going to be just a little more explicit. Like, because when she when she's replaced with the robot version and she's, you know, comes in wearing that like tunic. Like there's no pants. And it is just,
it's a short costumes, right? That the ladies wear.
Yeah. And it's just like, what is happening? But yeah, it's a very like it's a very sexual crew, and they're starting to kind of handle it. I think that I'm thinking right now, there's one of the other Star Trek movies has Uhura doing like a dance, like in silhouette. Yeah. And I'm like,
good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like they're really starting to try and find their footing with, like, you know, what more can we say sexually and get away with now that we're in a whole different era. Like, we had to be so restrictive in the 60s, but now we can say more.
Maybe everyone just went home horny. Maybe that's why I was
right. Right.
Everyone was horny and nobody knew why.
Yeah.
The lines of the ship and the quarters and then the pretty ladies, right?
Yep. Yep. That's the truth behind Star Trek, I think.
It actually probably makes a lot of sense for people who know me. Like, no wonder why I loved the spicy scenes, right?
It's just clicking with you, that's all.
Another takeaway I had, though, was the camaraderie. Like, it was very MASH-like. Like, that first movie, it reminded me so much of MASH.
Oh, so sure.
The TV show would have just wrapped... Mm-hmm. A few years prior, there's even a scene where there's a lady, I think she's working with Scotty, that looks like Hot Lips, like almost identical. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh my God, this is MASH. Like, it's almost identical. Military, they're all on base, they have a mission. Like, but then the other funny thing is in that movie, if anyone wants to see a replica of like, where we've picked characters in the 90s and late 2000s, McCoy in the very beginning scene when you see him, he looks like, what is it, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec? He looks like the identical version of him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, he's like the first time we see him, he is like this mountain man. Like, he went after he left the crew, he just went out in the hills and was like, don't talk to me ever again. And then he got pulled out, you know, and he's like, I'll go, but I'm not shaving.
That's right. I think he mentioned a woman too, like, you took me away from, like, whatever, right?
Yeah, but dude's living his best life.
You know, and then I had to grab my technology, right? So I had to grab Siri and I'd like take a picture and I'd put it in Google and be like, who the hell does he look like? And sure enough, Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec.
Yeah. That's right.
And then real quick, I just want to make sure that we talk about all the technology that came from Star Trek.
Yeah.
That we have today. Not that they created it, but it was inspired by, right?
Right. Yeah, it's wild to kind of see so many of the things. It's like, oh, well, we use a version of this now. Like, this was inspired by this. That's one of the things I think is the most fascinating about sci-fi, is it's like these creative minds like make up this thing. And then I feel like people are almost inspired by these things to kind of make it so it's like, well, we can do that. We've got the technology now. We can figure out how to make that real. So cool.
And where I work, and some of the people that I talk to, multi-generations now, right? So millennials or Gen Z, and I have said I love Star Trek, and I have seen the look on their face like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You mean Star Wars? No, Star Trek.
No.
Right. And so I love that they brought a reboot. I still don't think it took hold very much, but so I did pull a Google list. I'm going to read from the Google list all the technology that we have. Are you ready?
All right. Yeah, okay. I'm ready. I'm pumped.
So communicators were the inspiration for flip phones. Of course. Right. Yeah. We have our tablets, all of our tablet computers, right? Oh, you can't see it. Like, okay. All of our tablet computers. So those were originally used in Star Trek, The Next Generation. Clearly voice activated computers. When we talk about the third movie, right? This famous scene where Scotty says, computer, like, right? And you do a mouse. That was one of my favorites. Even medical imaging devices. So before Star Trek, we didn't have some of the imaging stuff we have now. Now we don't have like, what do they call it? Like medical tricorders. We're just in the field. You can do it, but we have big ones.
Right.
I mean, Bluetooth, the ear thing, like that came from the 60s show.
Yeah.
Replicators and we're 3D printing now. We holodecks, so now all the virtual reality that we have, touch screen interfaces, like, remember, there was just beep 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 beep.
Oh yeah.
was like 60. That was 69. That's insane.
Yeah.
Universal Translators.
Yes.
And even advanced prosthetics. So some of the artificial limbs and some of the visor, like cybernetic enhancements through Star
Yeah.
Trek, right? Has led to things. The only thing we don't have, right? We don't have warp drives yet.
Yeah.
We don't have transporter technology. That's the one I want. Put that up.
It's the
Transporter.
one that I want too, but after watching this movie, I'm just like, maybe let's make sure that's perfected
Oh
before.
yeah. You're right. There's a big failure in the very beginning.
Oh man.
And then I always go back to the fly. Like I can't get the
Yes,
fly out of my.
yes.
So,
Yep.
we don't have cloaking device, but maybe we do. Didn't China just come out with like a cloaking device? Did you hear about this?
Well, yeah, like, and then the while the stealth fighters might not have a cloaking, they're able to avoid radar detection, so.
Yeah. Well, and I saw something somewhere. I can't believe everything you see on the internet, but
Yeah.
I think I saw something where someone can actually wear a cloaking thing and like completely disappear. Like, that's
Yeah,
insane.
yeah.
Phasers and energy weapons. We don't have those yet. That
Yeah.
well, kind of sort. I mean, we have.
There are
Yeah.
tasers that shoot electric wire, which is sort of it's a stretch. It's a stretch.
What did they say in some of the Star Trek shows where they would be like, "It's so barbaric. It's so
Yeah.
barbaric."
Yeah.
And then we don't have artificial intelligence with human level sentience. We think we do, but
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but from being inside software, it's pretty programmatic. It
Yeah.
doesn't
Yeah.
have human. Anyone's worked with ChatGPT, like it can really screw stuff up.
Yeah.
And we
We're
don't have
not quite there yet.
not quite there. We don't have a cute little V'ger that's gonna take over and become its own life form. And we don't have
Yeah.
time travel. I'd like to have. I think I'd like that. Maybe not. I don't know.
You know, and that can open the door to another philosophical question because I've thought about that before. The big question of like if you could go back in time and like tell your younger self something or like, you know, do something, would you? And it's like, you know, part of me thinks I'd want to because there are changes that it's like, oh, I could fix this, I could fix this. But then part of me is like, well, if I did that, then I never would have experienced this probably. And it's like, do you just leave things the way they were? This is all a speculative conversation, Heather, that we've gone on a tangent for, but
I love the tangent. We'll have to do a whole thing on time travel another time.
right?
Back to the future, right? We'll have to pull that one
Yes.
out.
Definitely. I wanted to ask, kind of driving back to the movie, do you remember the first time you saw this movie? Was it something that you went to the theaters to see? Was it seeing it on home video? Like, do you happen to remember when this movie just kind of first came into your life?
I definitely would have seen them in the theaters. I
Sure.
don't remember seeing the very first movie in 1979
Yeah.
in the theater. I probably went, but I just don't remember it. I
Sure.
really remember seeing The Wrath of Khan, right? I
Yeah.
remember standing in line with my dad, going to see the movie. I remember seeing it on the big screen. I think I knew Ricardo Ma. How do you say his last name? Ricardo
Montalban, yeah.
Montalban. I was gonna say Mazatlan. Montalban, because we used to watch Fantasy Island,
Yep.
right? So I think I remember feeling heartbroken that he was the bad guy. Like
The bad guy.
that. Yeah, he
Yeah.
was the bad guy. And it did leave me actually with my biggest I have a phobia. I have a phobia of things that go in your ear. Like
Yes.
stuff. But even when I watched it the other day, I was like, I can't watch that
Yeah.
part. I can't.
Yeah.
So yeah, anybody that knows me, that's where the fear came from. Probably think here.
We kind of skirted over this earlier, but you had said earlier when we were talking about kind of just Star Trek in general, that your love and appreciation for it kind of started with your dad. Was that something where it was like you guys would get together to watch it on TV? Like what was the like how did the appreciation, or was it his love that kind of like, carried over for you, where he's like, I like this, I'd like you to kind of fall for this. Like what was how did that work?
Yeah, I think it was the fact that he was really passionate about getting into computers, right? So even this hobby of watching these movies or going to the movie theater for these things fed that same passion, right? It was easy to get excited. I think it's easy to get excited about your day job when you see this future where computers are everywhere. Remember back then, it was. No one knew how to spell computer, right? Like it was not a thing at all. And I clearly remember like how video games kind of came into our life. And I also appreciated that Captain Kirk was really emotional, right? They talked about emotion in every single episode and every movie. So it was also very masculine men talking about emotion. And then anytime you saw Spock break that, like we were all riveted when he would actually let his human emotions out. So I think my dad identified with, my dad was a very dramatic, emotional, emoting type person. And so I think he definitely loved the Captain Kirk character. So watching him enjoy it, right? And then again, and I really enjoyed watching women at work, right? The smoker. And seeing the all the way that everyone needed everybody, right? Like that whole system. And one of my favorite parts was how they would always celebrate at the end. There were so many movies they celebrated as friends, and the girls were included. That was a big thing. The girls were included.
And there have been like great women characters throughout the entire like world of Star Trek. Like we've had a woman captain now in with the Janeway. Which I
Anyway,
can't remember the show that
Voyager.
was.
It was Voyager.
Voyager.
Yes.
So it's like
That was probably the only other season I watched all the way through, was Voyager, just because I think it was a woman captain and I really enjoyed that part.
It's just it's I really think that that's one of the things about Star Trek that really makes it kind of stand out as something that's socially important, because it's socially conscious, it's forward thinking, it's progressive, it's all about trying to accentuate the best in our culture, which is that our culture is so diverse, and trying to present every aspect of that. This is going to seem like a really silly question now after the conversation that we've had, but maybe this will give you an opportunity to kind of dig into it a little bit differently. And that question is, Heather, why Star Trek the motion picture? Why is this the movie that when given the opportunity to choose a movie to speak about, like what is it that makes this movie stand out? Is it your kind of personal connection to where seeing it and how it led you on your journey into your future? Like, what is it that makes this movie so important and resonant to you?
I think it's because I took so many lessons from it that are applicable today. And then when I am in the world and I talk about it, it's almost forgotten. And I'm really not sure why. Specifically, it is a movie construct that showed how humans are very human. Humans and human life, regardless of what planet you came from, right? Like there's a reverie to that and a primary importance, and they manage the technology. There's no, at that time, technology managing them. They delve into that in later, like, of course, and later, cyborg, all that. But in the early beginning, it was this way of our future where humans could come together, operate together for a core mission, and like build something of meaning and purpose. And specifically, that movie with number one from 1979, as sexy and fun as it was, like I still love how sexy that movie is. I really should go as V. I'm just not willing to shave my head. Maybe if I ever look at that, I'll figure that out. The end result is that we, in our culture today, created a scientific product and put it out into the universe. We programmed it to collect data and come back to its creator. It met a machine planet that souped it up, sent it back, and it was going to destroy us if we didn't answer it, right? So it was like a problem to be solved, but it's a problem we created kind of in a weird way. And the only way to get it to not kill us all was to have it murder the human so that it understood what its actual purpose was. And so we have all this technology, right? We love it. We hate it. We complain about it. We fear it. We're dependent on it. But we haven't put it in a relationship.
Right.
And maybe that taught me even back then, I have a healthy relationship with my technology. I use it for my purposes, but it doesn't consume me, if that makes sense.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It's a tool to kind of like, you know, get you from one place to the next, but it isn't your life. Life outside, life connecting with other people, life connecting with activities, life connecting with, you know, institutions. That's what helps you kind of, you know, become who you are. And then the technology in your life is a tool to help you get there, to help kind of create that connection.
Yes. And I don't fear it. That's really a good point. I mean, I'm at the age now where technology is getting a little bit beyond, not quite. I've kept up pretty well. But I have no fear of it. Like when I look at technology and I know about AI, I'm like, whatever. It can take over. It can write all of our paychecks. It can tell us, it can watch us at work, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not going to replace, we can all shut it down at some point. Like we can all walk away from it and go sit at the theater all together and do live theater for fun, right? Like I hadn't thought about it that way. I don't fear technology.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it always is going to need us.
And you said earlier too, that this Star Trek, this movie in particular, they are using the technology to kind of accomplish what it is that they want to accomplish. This isn't the technology getting out of hand. It does, but they still have to utilize and control the tech to get to where they need to. It's not like a constant battle with the tech. And I think the technology, like you said, still needs human, the human interaction, the human contact, the human communication in order for anything to happen. And because it's lacking that, that's why it goes off on this, like, I'm going to destroy everything if you don't talk to me. It's a very toxic relationship movie, really, when it comes down to it.
It's fallout, yeah. But, you don't talk back to me in the language I want you to talk back to me in.
Yeah. If you don't get what I'm trying to say, this is over. Everything's over. I think that's a really good point, because I think this movie does something very different from the other Star Trek movies. I think the other Star Trek movies are very adventure driven. Like it's the idea of kind of like, oh, we've got, you know, there's a villain, there's something that we're trying to win, you know, or there's a goal where we have to overcome other things to get to it. And I think this movie is less focused on like kind of beat for beat narrative as it is like explaining what the concept is. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was really laying the foundation. So many things have built off of that, right?
Yeah.
Of that foundation of that early movie, for sure.
You've done a really good job this up to this point, kind of talking about like what it is that you really like about this movie. I'm curious, as far as characters are concerned, who stands out in this movie? Not necessarily in the entire realm of Star Trek, but in this movie as someone that's like, oh, like this is like they kind of either nail the character or they bring a new facet to the character that's really like makes it worth watching.
The core group, I think, identify with the most. I love Captain Kirk, right? I used to, as the 80s progressed and people gave him a hard time for overacting, I was rewatching it. You can chuckle, but as he was doing emotional processing, he was making it very clear how he felt in everything that he did. Because of that, I think we can take shortcuts now later. Anyone that watched him, like, we don't need as many cues as we needed then. But I really liked the triad, right? I really liked Spock and Bones, and you said it, I think, at the top, right? Like the way they snipped at each other and snapped at each other. In the first movie, there was McCoy really went after Kirk a little bit. And I appreciated that. I was like, ooh, again, if you have a strong relationship, you should be able to say, I think you're the one who's missing something here. And then when there is a conflict later, and they're, one of them has to like disobey an order from the captain, right? Like, and then they had to like explain why. I thought that just that the dynamics of everyone on the bridge working for the bigger goal and speaking up, speak, I hate to say speaking truth to power, but like knowing that you're on a ship, there's a command, there's a hierarchy, and then but knowing your job and being like, you're wrong, I'm doing this because otherwise we're all going to die. We're all going to blow up because you didn't read the recent photon schematics or whatever. I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, it's like that everyone like on the bridge.
Bones will always be my favorite Star Trek character. I look at him and I see this cranky old man, but like a cranky old man who is so intelligent and like ha makes these good points, because it's like, listen, you're making a decision that is kind of reckless. And rather than just say, Captain, I disagree, I'm going to call you an idiot because we have that bond, we have that connection. And I feel like I can question my superior because we've established that rapport. I think Bones is so great. Like every iteration of Bones. I like Carl Urban in the new trilogy too, the kind of I just think he I think he's great anyway, but I think he brings kind of a fun, like, why am I doing this? Why am I working with you people? Like kind of energy to him. But yeah, it's just great. What else? What are other things that you really like and appreciate about this movie? And then after that, I'm gonna ask you a big Star Trek movie question.
Oh, a big Star Trek movie. Is it like trivia? Like, do I have to like
No.
read
No,
the
I listen, I'm never gonna quiz you.
because there are some Trekkies out there, right? Like, they know some stuff. Let's see, what else? Let's see. Like, I wrote down some notes, right? Like, I always like that, like in the third movie, how they go back like No Man Left Behind. I always thought that was kind of cool. And then a lot of people didn't like the humpback whales series, the one
Voyage Home.
number four. Yeah, that was it, right? The voyage. But I like the cultural, I just like the cultural stamp, right? So now you take our Trekkies and you actually stick them in 1986. I kind of like that. I just like that play on things. And then what on the next one? Like they explore the nature of God. Like then it gets But then the other thing I appreciate is they did a lot of good crossover stuff. So by the time The Next Generation came in, the last movie had the original cast in it. They kind of did some transitioning. And then I'm really glad that the Gene Roddenberry, like the entity that they did, The Next Generation was all new characters, all new, and then the Voyager, all new. They had to do that too. If you couldn't just replay the same thing. So the restart of the new movie, again, I like it because I like how they did it. But it's a little, the only thing that I'll be honest, that has bothered me about it is it reminded me it's just a movie because they rewrote it, right? They added some rewrites to it. Spock does something different and Kirk came from somewhere else. And I get all that, but then it was like, oh damn, this was all just a movie. Mm-hmm. Anyone can rewrite it at any moment. It was good and bad, right? Like we all have.
And I think, you know, I think you're knowing, like if it would have been, it's such a tough thing because it's like you kind of, if you're going to restart Star Trek, you almost feel like you have to do those original characters because they're so ingrained in part of culture. But I think the reason why Star Trek has been so successful over these years is because it's not afraid to restart itself with different characters on different adventures. And I think, you know, if you really want to be ambitious with a movie series, treat it like a new TV series and just say, hey, this is the world of Star Trek, but you get a whole new crew and we can do anything we want. So, yeah, I just think as much as I like the new series, I think it would have been more ambitious and more adventurous to just completely go in a different direction. So,
so all the genders of everybody, right? Like redo it, but all different, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Kirk was a woman from the beginning. No, I just.
So my big Star Trek question then. This is the movie that you chose, Star Trek the Motion Picture. That's the one you selected. But I am curious, out of all of the Star Trek movies, is it your favorite, or is there another one that you would say that you like or enjoy watching more?
It's such a hard toss-up, right? Like,
sure,
you can't watch the first movie over and over very often, right?
Yeah, yes.
You can only see the ship so many times. Mm-hmm. I'd probably say the second or the third's probably my favorite, but Wrath of Khan is a really close second. Close. It's just the acting in the second, I think, was by far the best acting of all the series. But the third, maybe it's because we all just wanted to see Spock come back to life.
I think definitely. Like, the search for Spock, it's like the second one ends and he dies and you're kind of like, no, how could you do this? But you have the opportunity to bring him back. Like, that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants Spock to return, want the whole gang to get back together again to bring Spock back. And it's just, it's a celebration of Spock, like, despite, you know, what happens in the movie. I think for me, the second one is my favorite. Wrath of Khan, it's such a good adventure movie. Like, I think that has a lot of rewatchability. Oddly enough, though, the one that I think I've seen the most was probably 5, because they used to play it on HBO all the time and I would watch it probably every time it aired. And it was just, you know, and I younger Andy didn't get the philosophy at all, being like, you know, the manner of God. It was just, oh, cool, this is a fun Star Trek movie. Oh, they're yelling at each other. How cool is that? But yeah, I just, Wrath of Khan probably is definitely my favorite. Any other points about this movie you want to make sure you mention before we start to wrapping things up with the last section?
Well, I have a I have a philosophical question for you about Star Trek.
Ooh, so, okay.
Yeah, I want to get your thoughts on this. All right. The quote that was from movie 2, right? That the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one. Do we still believe that in 2024?
As a society, I believe that we have become very set on our individual needs. It does not feel as though we have the ideals of the greater good, like the benefits of all mankind. I think we kind of put on the back burner so that we can make the best for ourselves. And there's something very sad about that. But also something understandable about that, because individually we see our world directly, like on a regular basis. Like we just aren't able to broaden the scope past that. And I think that's also very sad, but I think that makes it so it's more understandable that of course we're going to put our own things first when we can only see so much. But I think the liberal in me, the progressive in me, always wants to see the greater good and try and find a way that we can satisfy the needs of the many outside of the ones of, what's going to be best for me. I would like more people to benefit, but yeah, it's a good question.
I agree with you. As I was watching that again, I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of an interesting cultural shift politically from where we are. And then I have a couple of other fun, just a couple of things you didn't know. And then I can't wait to try my Klingon in terms of to say to be or not to be. So I'm gonna try it. Okay. So first of all, I told you the Vulcan salute was actually a Hebrew blessing. I thought that was so cool. I mentioned early on Leonard Nimoy saving the franchise because he didn't want to be out of work. So he kept going around and around, being Spock. Like, so that's what really drove the cultural love of Spock. When the doors would open, like, go like that, right? Really two people pulling the doors every time, every time. You believe that? That's how lucky she was. And even on all the sets, it was always people pulling the doors. They had to pull them at the exact same time. That's hilarious.
Man.
And then they did reuse a lot of actors. They really, once Gene Roddenberry loved his friends, they brought them back. So Spock's dad, I think it was Mark Leonard, I think is his name. So he also played a Romulan, a Klingon. Like he played in a bunch of different things. And then they had him on so many episodes and series. Spock's dad so long. So he kept coming back. And then William Shatner actually almost ruined it for Trekkies. When and so you gotta go watch the skit where he was on Saturday Night Live in 1986, and he was making fun of Trekkies. Oh my God, they were pissed at him. He had to make a special apology.
The what is it? The get a life?
Yes,
Oh
get a life.
man. Ooh.
Think about how much money he would have lost if he had not, like, because he had gone on to other shows, but. Like people hated him for a short amount of time until he apologized.
Oh, man.
And then Christopher Plummer, right? Christopher Plummer from The Sound of Music, right? He played Chancellor Chang, and he was really good friends with William Shatner. They had been in Shakespearean theater before, and so had Jean-Luc Picard. Like, there's a lot of theater people that came on, and he also played like a chief of staff in another movie as Christopher Plummer without all the makeup. I was like, you're just real. You could have used other actors, right? Like some of us in the Midwest, and
Just use the same guy. No, get somebody new.
all right. Let's see if I can do this. Let's see if I can pull up my plane.
Ooh, here we
So
go.
remember, so it's which movie? It is movie. Is it movie four, right? Yes, where Chancellor Chang is sitting at the table and they're drinking Romulan ale. And he says, Tuck buck, that tuck be, where he says to be or not to be. That is the question.
Nothing like the Shakespearean art of Star Trek.
My first Klingon on camera. Oh, there you go.
Well done. Well done. Heather, this has been a ton of fun getting to chat with you, about the movie, like just a blast, but you're not quite out of the woods yet. I like to end things with a little segment I call the Fat Five. These are five rapid fire-ish questions that are kind of a general gauge in your love of movies. So are you ready for the Fat Five?
Ready.
All right, here we go. Question number one. This is the tough one. What is your favorite movie of all time?
All time. It is a movie that is a mix between Some Kind of Wonderful and St. Elmo's Fire that came out in 1988. It has Jodie Foster and Mark Hartman in it. No one really knows about it. It's called Stealing Home.
Wow. I know the cover art for that movie because I used to work at a video store. But I've never seen the movie.
Give me some cover art. I love it.
Yeah. Okay.
They better, my children better play that soundtrack at my funeral. Like, that's how much I love that soundtrack.
Wow. Nice. Good choice. I always like it when someone kind of, A, names something outside the box, but B, something that I've never seen, because now it's like, I have to see this movie.
You have to see it. I can't wait. You got to tell me when you see it. You'll have me back.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Awesome. Question number two. This is kind of a two-part question. The first part is, who is your favorite actor, your favorite male performer?
Ooh. All right. I have a total lady heart on for Pedro Pascal. I don't know if it's from Game of Thrones. Can't be from Mandalorian because we don't see him.
Sure.
He can show up anytime at my door. Anytime.
Pedro, just it seems come like he's on. Kind of the man of the hour for people.
Chilean wine, I will have it here for him.
Did you watch The Last of Us, the HBO series that he does?
I did. No idea why balloons are like.
I don't know. I was like, that was a festive answer.
They're like, it's Oberyn Martell coming to visit me, and like whatever. Come on,
Pedro. The second half of that then, who is your favorite actress, your favorite female performer?
Toni Collette.
Yes.
I started loving her when she did the United States of Tara.
Yeah.
As the multiple personality, the mom. She was a mom and a wife and had multiple personality disorder. She's just to die for. Crazy good.
So good. Yeah. So good. Such a good movie.
She's been in so many.
Or a good TV show.
Yes. Yeah. And then she was in Bruce Willis. Like, she was the mom.
Sixth Sense.
Yes, thank
yes.
you.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. She's great. Oh, awesome choice. Question number four. Usually it would be phrased, who is your favorite director? I like to ask it a little bit differently. I like to ask if there is a director who had a movie coming out tomorrow. You wouldn't need to see a trailer, wouldn't need to know a cast, wouldn't even need to know what the movie's about. But just knowing that they're attached to it, would they get you to go see the movie? And if so, who is that director?
I feel like I should pick someone different, but it's still Steven Spielberg, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I'd say Greta Gerwig, I think, is coming up. She definitely impressed me with the Barbie movie. Yeah. And doesn't matter if people like the Barbie movie or not, for any woman in her 40s, we love it because you guys got Fast and the Furious for like a decade. It was the first time we got anything like that. So the So that's the equality for us now is one Barbie movie.
Yeah. And I think the one Barbie movie is leaps and bounds better than all 10 Fast and the Furious movies. Oh God.
I could say that. I'm so glad you said it, but I can't
say it. So that was the director question. Question number four. Is there a movie set to come out that you are super excited to see, or something that's already out that you've missed that you can't wait until you get a chance to see it?
So, have you seen all the new 80s like sequels that are coming out in 2024? I was like floored. Alien Romulus,
Oh,
I think is what it's called.
yeah.
There's a Ghostbusters movie.
Yep.
What was the other one? Was it like Beetlejuice or something? Like,
Beetlejuice
so as long as they don't as long as I don't screw them up,
too.
I wish they'd make a Gremlins, actually. I'd love to see a Gremlins
Yeah.
reboot.
Yeah.
But I know this is Fast and Furious like questions, but I'd still my big indulgence is Deadpool. So as long as I
Yeah.
get Hugh Jackman in there now, I'm really excited about that one too. So I'm gonna have a big year for movies if they're all good.
Yeah, this is gonna be an exciting 2024 for you, I think. You'd be
Better. If they're awful, I won't even go see them.
like, I'm done. No more movies ever. Question number five. This is kind of changing track, but the name of the show is Let's Talk About. When I rate my movies, I use the taco scale. So, Heather, I would like for you to craft for me your perfect taco. What kind of a tortilla are we using? What's your protein? Make a taco for me that you find delicious.
Got it. Can I cheat and use one that I know right here in Sioux Falls?
Yeah, you sure can.
I recently found it. So at Plaza Azteca, right here in Sioux Falls,
Okay.
they have
Yeah.
the best California fish tacos. And I've never liked
Ooh.
fish tacos before, but
Okay.
they use corn tortilla. They use grilled tilapia, which is a very mild whitefish, right?
Ooh,
And then
yum.
they
Yeah.
use regular taco seasoning, because you definitely taste the taco seasoning there. And then they use like shredded cabbage, and then they have like this creamy chipotle sauce in it. And it's almost like a street fish taco. And I'd
Yeah.
be their pork and their beef as well. Like, but by far, the California fish tacos are my favorite, and I'm having them for my birthday on Wednesday.
Nice. Oh, yes. Heather, again, this has just been a blast. Like, thank you so much for joining me, chatting with me. It's been great to kind of hear about your life, hear about your love for this movie. Do you want to kind of share where people can find you online? Are you interested in spreading your presence online?
You bet. So, I don't have anything that I do specifically yet online, but I know I'm going to. But I can definitely be found at Heather Thomas underscore SD on Instagram. And then I have a really dumb hobby in addition to cosplay, where I have a TikTok page where I love MTV videos and I try to recreate some of them. And so I got a fantastic name because I started in 2020. So it's just Gen Xer, GenXer on TikTok. And you can find me there doing lots of dumb lip sync videos. But send me a
Listen,
request and I will do them.
we're gonna spin it positive. We're not gonna go out on saying it's dumb. This is you having a good time celebrating your life.
That's right. Thank you. The rest of the world thinks it's dumb until I can figure out what to do with it. So as soon as I do that, maybe I'll turn it into a Star Trek page. I haven't decided yet.
There you go. Heather, again, thank you so much. It's been a blast, so I really appreciate it.
I mean, this is wonderful. Thanks. I love this. Can't wait to see what you do next month.
Thank you very much. Once again, a huge, huge thank you to Heather for joining me for this chat. Yeah, she's awesome, and kind of gave me a newfound respect for this movie, and like, I don't know, just kind of an understanding of how Star Trek, like, it's not like I didn't know, because I've been a Star Trek movie fan for a while, but it is kind of cool to sit back. Like, she listed off all of the things that technologies that have come to be that were kind of inspired by Star Trek, and it's just kind of fun to sit back and look at that list and look at like the list from all kinds of different science fiction movies, the things that we have now, because these creative minds had an idea and other people were like, that's a really cool idea, let's do it. So yeah, huge thank you to Heather, and that is going to do it for this week's episode. You can follow all things Fat Dude Digs Flicks on Facebook, Instagram, Letterboxd, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. Just do a search for Fat Dude Digs Flicks across social media and you will find me there. Subscribe to this podcast, like this podcast, rate and review this podcast, share this podcast with your friends. I'm going to keep doing this show until it bores me, until it feels like it's too much work. But it's always cool to have new listeners. And the best way to get new listeners is with your help. So please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And if you do use, Stitcher's gone. You can't use Stitcher anymore. Never mind. But use Good Pods or wherever you get your podcast. If you do use Apple Podcasts or Spotify, leave a rating and a review. And also share this with your friends. Share it on social media. Let people know we're out here. I would love to have new listeners. Why not? How great is that? Speaking of new listeners, speaking of having new people to talk to, if you have a question, comment, concern, would like to make a recommendation, would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to fatdudediggsflicks@gmail.com. It would be great to chat with more people, great to have more guests lined up. Like I said, I love having these conversations. It's an awesome opportunity to meet and connect with new people. So if you consider yourself awesome or you don't consider yourself awesome and need a little ego boost, send an email to fatdudediggsflicks@gmail.com. I would love to chat with you. I need to create a roll call for local podcasts, but definitely make sure you check out Screams from the Basement and hear Casey and Sam doing their thing, talking about horror movies, and the Local Lou podcast, where you can hear Lou chat about all things South Dakota history. Just a couple of the podcasts created from people here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. It's a blossoming market, I would say. So definitely check all that stuff out. I think that's it. I think that's going to do it. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back here next week. Same fat time. Same fat channel. And let's talk about movies. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Fat Dude Digs Flicks.